Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Vishesha Bhuter Vivaramanaksha.
Vishesha Bhuter Vivaramanaksha.
Vajamayan Na Vivahara Konyat.
Vajamayan Na Vivahara Konyat.
Ka Ipara Satra Kakisha Tavyam.
Ka Ipara Satra Kakisha Tavyam.
Ka Kapi Rajan Karavama Kinte.
Vishesha Bhodehe, of the conception of the distinction between master and servant. Vidaram, the scope. Manak, a little. Cha, also. Pashyamaha, I see. Yet, which? Na. Not vyavaharataha, than the temporary usage or convention. Anyat, other. Kaha, who? Isharaha, the master. Tatra, in this. Kim, who? Ishatavyam, is to be controlled. Tatapi, nevertheless. Rajan, O king. Parentheses, Prabhupada writes, you don't have to repeat this. If you still think that you are master and I'm the servant, O king. Karavama, I may do. Kim, what? Te, for you. Translation. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king and I am your servant, you should order me and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master? And who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature, therefore no one is master, and no one is servant. Nevertheless, if you think that you are the master, and I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Maneti, one thinks, I am this body, and in this bodily relationship, he is my master, he is my servant, she is my wife, and he is my son. All these conceptions are temporary due to the inevitable change of body and the arrangement of material nature. We are gathered together like straws floating in the waves of an ocean, straws that are inevitably separated by the laws of the waves. In this material world, everyone is floating on the waves of the ocean of nations, as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his songs, Niche Mayara Vashe Yacha Beshe Kacha Habadubabai Jeev Krishna Das E Vishvas Kale Ta Ara Dukanai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura states that all men and women are floating like straws on the waves of material nature. If they come to understand that they are eternal servants of Krishna, they will put an end to this floating condition. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:37, Kamesha, Kronesha, Rajoguna Samudbhava. Due to the mode passion, we desire many things. And according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of the Supreme Lord, material nature gives us a certain type of body. For some time we play as master or servant, as actors play on the stage under someone else's direction. While we are in the human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. We should come to our original constitutional position, known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, the real master is material nature. Devi-yeshu-guna-mai-mama-maya-daratyaya 7:14 Bhagavad Gita. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters, but if we agree to be controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal servants, this temporary condition ceases to exist. As usual, Prabhupada is in his Bhaktivedanta purports giving us the overall essence of the verse and the section. The verses are giving us an opportunity for knowledge and detachment. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed a number of verses describing Lord Chaitanya, glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and one of those still existing, often quoted verses, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purusha Puranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this knowledge of devotion that has built within devotion knowledge of our true identity, as opposed to illusion, the misidentification, the aham mama version. There's a spiritual conception of aham, there's a spiritual conception of mama, and there's the mayic one. And the mayic one keeps us in bondage. The Bhagavatam ones release us from bondage by bhakti. And bhakti, so again, has these elements, two, minimal, vairagya, vidya, detachment and knowledge. Detachment from the misconception, attachment to the proper conception, and then we go forward in life. Life management. Directing our lives towards Krishna. And that's the basis, primary basis for deciding what to do, what not to do. Same as Bhagavad Gita's message, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. To say, abandon all varieties of Dharma doesn't mean become a dharmic, become a violator of codes of dharma. Doesn't mean that. The transcendental knowledge simile that Jad Bharat is imparting to Rahugana is not dismissing dharma. It's just recalibrating or correcting the misconception of self. And then if there's a proper conception of self, then one knows how to conduct oneself. But conducting oneself, say it reverse, conducting oneself striving for Dharma, what's right, when you don't even know who you are, good luck. My dear king, you have misconceptions. Fundamental misconceptions. Based upon temporary, circumstantial situations. And that's one of the words used in the verse. Vyavaharata. In the second line. Pashyama yanna vyavaharata. Nyat, anyat. So, vyavaharata. And the word for word is then the temporary usage or convection, not the so. We live our lives conventionally according to the temporary and think, that's me, the body, and then the extensions of the body, mine, my fill in the blank, based upon I am this body. And so they're conventional kinds of conduct. A king gives instructions to the servants of the king or the citizens of the king. And in this case, the palanquin carrier is the, you know, carry it properly or I'll smack you. I'll punish you because you're not doing your duty properly. So that's this vyavaharata. I did a little folio search to see where else is this word vyavaharata used. It's not used anywhere else in the Bhagavatam. It's used one other place, according to the search I just did, which is from Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And Sanatana Goswami uses it. Vyavaharata in that case is used to indicate how great personalities, he uses the example of Bharat. This is Jad Bharat, but Bharat, by his own behavior, he showed the fault of becoming attached to something temporary, the deer, and attached to the something temporary to the point where his devotion and practices of devotion were left to the side. Vyavaharata in this case means a behavior that was purposefully done, at least this is the way it's described in Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He wanted to show, or let's say Krishna wanted to show, the consequence of maintaining attachments to the temporary and leaving to the side the Paradharma, not getting it, 1866 Bhagavad Gita. And Yudhisthira, his hesitation to follow Krishna's instruction, instead favor a dharmic principle rather than Krishna's instruction. Krishna's instruction is say, go ahead, say it. Ashvatthama is dead. No, I can't say that. Because that's a dharma. Say it. So then he said it. And the purpose of Krishna was fulfilled. So dharma is to be determined by the Supreme Lord, not by convention. Normally, convention prevails. But even when convention prevails, the argument that's being given here by Jad Bharat is, even if we just follow convention, we should understand why we're doing that. And the purpose of doing that is to bring us to the position of pleasing Krishna only. And if there's a compromise in pleasing Krishna, then we don't do. Even if it's a code of Dharma, we don't do. Why? Not pleasing to Krishna. So we don't do. Because the purpose, say it again, the purpose of Dharma is to bring one to the position of pleasing Krishna. This is like our discussion yesterday, Daivi Varnashram. So it's, to get it right, you can't be lazy. We can be lazy and then we won't get it right. But to get it right, you can't be lazy. You have to be Monishinam, phrase that Prabhupada used. To be a devotee, you have to be thoughtful. Oh no, I have to be thoughtful. Yes, you have to be thoughtful. And you consider the instructions. Don't be lazy. Consider the instructions embedded within this nice section. He just got through yesterday morning's verse. Basically, King, you're nonsense. Now, even if you're nonsense, even if you think that you're this body, and I'm in relation to your body, I'm the servant, and you're the master, you're the king, and I'm to follow your order. Okay. Give me the instruction. Because he, Rahugana, Jan Bharat, isn't going to be compromised in taking shelter of Krishna, pleasing Krishna by so doing. The king is not saying, give up your spiritual practices and, you know, jump in a river or something. He's, you know, carry the palanquin. He's just recalibrating the king's misconception of self and then what his duty as the king is. No problem if the king gives instructions. This is the temporary. Go back to this first line. Vishesha Buddhi. Vishesha Buddhi is word for word of the conception of the distinction between master and servant. Buddhi, we know, means intelligence, and Vishesha means, spend some time looking up to see the various ways in which that's used, is differentiation or some particularity or varieties of manifestation. So the context makes it the distinction between master and servant. The application in a different context could mean something slightly different, but it's Vishesha Buddhi. If your intelligence is making distinctions, such as this one, master-servant, based upon convention, based upon the norm of I'm the king, at least in this lifetime, and you're the citizen of the kingdom, okay. I have no problem. It doesn't compromise the Mami Kam Sharanam principle, and therefore I can follow it. But I'm not going to follow it based in illusion. I'm going to follow it based upon pleasing Krishna. No problem. So if you feel that way, just tell me what you'd like. And I'm prepared. Whatever you'd like. But if I do it, it's not with the illusion that you're the master and I'm the servant. It's in the position of recognizing Krishna's happiness, acting according to Krishna's happiness, and I won't be an illusion. We can follow, this is this Varnashram topic. We can follow the codes of Varna and Ashram as convention says in the consciousness of this is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. It's a social structure to facilitate, exactly as our this discussion on Tuesday evening, of Yudhisthira asking Narada Muni, what's the social structure that helps one come to the stage that Prahlad Maharaj attained? Unmixed devotion. What's that social structure like that can bring society? Because I'm going to be the king and you're going to guide me in being the king, so how do I do it? What does it look like? Daivi Varnashram means we follow the convention, but not in Maya. We follow it because it'll help us come closer to Krishna. And if there is something that conflicts with coming closer to Krishna, then we neglect it. We don't make the mistake, vyavaharata, that Bharat made, or that Yudhisthira made. We don't hesitate to do what Krishna wants. If we're not clear what Krishna wants, ask. Ask those who are guiding you in Krishna's service, and what does Krishna want? Krishna certainly didn't want Bharat to give up his devotional practice. No problem. He's a king. He's, you know, little baby deer without mother, father. So look after, no problem. There wasn't a fault in that. The fault was attachment to the degree that he gave up his devotional practices. And Yudhisthira's fault, by internal potency arrangement, he made the fault to teach us when Krishna says, you don't hesitate. You do what Krishna says. Just be clear what Krishna wants, and you do that. So, Brihat Bhagavatamrita is using this Vyavaharata phrase in saying, sometimes great devotees, pure devotees, they teach us, even in terms of faults, where you follow convention, but you forget the purpose behind the convention, and you make a big mistake, and you have consequences. Bharat's a big-time consequence, and Yudhisthira, his chariot that was rising above the ground because of his quality of truthfulness, touched the ground. It became an ordinary chariot because of hesitating to take Krishna's instruction. Vyavaharata. So convention has its place, and rising above convention has its place, as in 1866 Bhagavad Gita. Doesn't mean we neglect convention. We act according to convention, but with a higher understanding. So now spend a little time with Prabhupada's purport. Again, he's giving us the path to perfection through this little verse and this little section where people don't know who they are. They don't know what belongs to them. Aham and mama, that's how it starts. The bodily conception is the aham part, and mama is that which is connected to the body, is mine. I and mine. It exists in the spiritual world, and the default position in the material world is the material conception of I and the material conception of mine. And we live our lives accordingly, with attachment to I and mine. I and mine. I and mine. And whatever we do, even if it's religion or irreligion, it's I and mine. That's the rules. The soul is bound tightly by material nature. And you may try to be a religious person or a good person or a spiritual person. The I and mine is going to hold on. Unless there's this knowledge of detachment. Aham. Mameti will rule, and Jnana Vairagya. Now, of course, other authors gave this other phrase, Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. Sarvabhauma says Jnana Vairagya. Other acharyas say Yukta Vairagya. Rupa Goswami, Yukta Vairagya Uchate. Nibandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. That is, if you're going to do yukta, you're going to engage the objects of the senses out there in the service of Krishna, you better have knowledge of those objects of the senses belong to Krishna, and you can't make them yours. Even, you know, you want to. So don't want to, because you can't. You're in Maya if you want to. Don't operate with Maya. When you're yukta, you do engagement of practical activity in life. It's Krishna's, meant for Krishna. And then that brings proper vairagya, detachment. Yukta Vairagya. So now going back, this is this Vishesha Buddhi. So that's Buddhi is intelligence that guides our activities of bhakti. Buddhi is the intelligence that guides our activities of bhakti. If you're Krishna conscious, if you're on the platform of you don't have any other interest than Krishna's interest, Buddhi will guide your activities. And this other is Vishesha Buddhi, you know, the Mayic kind of Buddhi, where the differentiations that you see have to do with I and mine in the material sphere. Maya's like, she's got us locked up. Try to be a good person. Try to be a religious person. Try to be a pious person. Try to be a virtuous person. Try to be a spiritual person. She's got you locked up. I am mine. Vishesha Buddhi. My dear king, Vishesha Buddhi. Even if you think you're this body and you're the king and I'm your subject, even if you think like that, it's okay. I'm okay acting, but I'm not going to act in Maya, thinking you're the king and I'm the subject and I got to do what he says because he's the king. I want to do what Krishna wants. Carry your palanquin, it's not a problem, doesn't compromise my principles of bhakti, trying to please Krishna, nothing there, so fine. My dear king, I'd like you to get out of Maya, but you don't want to get out of Maya. If you don't want to get out of Maya, no problem. I can live my life in Krishna consciousness uncompromised. It's very practical, you know, how do we move about society when people aren't Krishna conscious? A lot of people have a I and mine conception that's rooted in illusory conception. They haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam. They haven't received the training to how to apply the message of Srimad Bhagavatam to their life. A lot of people out there that we interact with on a regular basis. What to do? Well, we should be clear what our real identity is, and as appropriate, we can try to help people become clear what their real identity is. Again, Jed Bharat didn't do this with everybody. He wasn't one of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan devotees. Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan devotees are carrying a lot of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and not telling too much, but helping people get a beginning in Krishna consciousness by the chanting of the holy name, distributing books and distributing prasadam. And it's a very merciful setup, structure, movement, mission. Jed Bharat wasn't Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan devotee, but he's doing this with Rahugana because Rahugana is exceptionally qualified. He's Maya, but that covering, beneath the covering, is an exceptionally qualified person. So now, the convention is, when we're in this aham mameti thing, then material nature awards us a body, exactly as Prabhupada is saying here, to match our desire and our frustrations, as he put it. Desire and anxiety. Thank you. So that desire is kama, and the anxiety is krodha. We're in the material world because desire. Desire specifically, I want to enjoy, separately from Krishna, of course, and therefore we get a body, gross and subtle, and then we get krodha, we get anxiety, and that's not happening. At least not the way I thought it would happen. Something else is happening. And then it just continues and continues as long as that separate enjoyment from Krishna desire rules. We get a body according to material nature, and one identifies with the body, as Prabhupada is saying here, dog or cat, or king, or servant, or different transformations of the material nature, awarded by material nature, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, until we get it. You know, nice metaphor, we're brought together like straws. There's many metaphors like this, but we just stick with this one. Straws cast into the sea. And according to the movement of the waves, sometimes straws are clustered together. And then movement of the waves, the straws are dispersed. Similarly, sometimes we come together as members of a family or whatever, members of some group. And then by the same material nature that brings us together, we're dispersed. So what is our real identity? You know, people don't ask that. Like the nice example in the sixth canto of the son of King Chitraketu. Narada brings him back to life. And the son sits up, looks right at Narada, and says, "You called me back. Why'd you call me back? You said I should please my father, but who's my father?" This time around, that was my father and mother. But before that, so many other fathers and mothers. And I just went to my original father. You wanted me to come back? I'm going back. Bye-bye. And all this understanding, same from a same message, different context. What's the real master here? So the master of us all is material nature. We're under the direction of Prakriti. And Prakriti is under the direction of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So he's our master. So let me act in a way that Krishna's master, please. And then this whirlpool of straws moving here and there is over. Just that one little step into the reality of who I am and the reality of what is mine. I can act according to convention as long as that isn't compromised. And the means to achieve that is not compromised. That's how I make my decisions in life. And that's so, hey, I'm Jed Bharat, you think you're the king, no problem. Tell me what you want me to do. Preferably governed with transcendental knowledge. Liberating, huh? Jnana vairagya yuktaya. Vairagya vijanija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushat puranam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari has accepted this transcendental form, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, to give this message. Any discussion? Yes. Nectar Devotion? Chapter 14.
jnana prajna are useful to get a
foothold.
Yeah, in bhakti.
Yeah.
But then in pure devotional service, it's not helpful.
Well, it doesn't say that. Read it carefully. It doesn't say it's not helpful. Not the. Let's go to the Bhagavatam that says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. So, knowledge is there. Intrinsic within bhakti, there's knowledge and detachment. So, before we have knowledge and detachment, it's helpful to have some knowledge. So we read, and Bhagavad Gita and other teachings to help us get a foothold. And it's not that we throw away Bhagavad Gita, or we're not interested in the knowledge that comes from Bhagavad Gita, but it becomes our way of life. It's not something outside that you import, because that's the education modality that we're accustomed to. Primary school, secondary school, college, and graduate school, and something out there, and import and put it on my hard drive. And I can say it back, okay, you got a degree. But this is knowledge that's within. And when bhakti is operative, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha, knowledge that's intrinsic awakens naturally. And we function. We live our lives accordingly. So we don't discard knowledge and detachment. We live our lives according to knowledge and detachment. But it's no longer just to get a foothold. It's now we're moving in a life of devotion to Krishna. That's coming both from within and from without, from Supersoul within the heart, because all the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is the same as knowledge of Supersoul from the heart. It's Chaita Guru and Krishna speaking as the guru of Arjuna. Just live our lives accordingly. So what does it mean then, the foothold? Just helps us get a foothold. And we continue after the foothold position in bhakti to continue to read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam because it nourishes bhakti. It inspires us further and further in a life of devotion to Krishna. That's why. It's not search of knowledge, like, you know, the four types of pious men, and one of them is one searching for knowledge. So searching for knowledge is, of the four, is the best. So now you have a little knowledge. Now what? You engage in devotional service. And when you engage in devotional service, you continue reading the same literature, but how it acts from within is different. It's just inspiring and guiding our life in devotion. The foothold position is now surpassed. A foothold. When reading that verse, I was that message from Nectar Devotion. What's the common usage of the word foothold? Why did Prabhupada choose that word? So supposing you want to climb a mountain or scale a sharp, height, you have to put your foot somewhere to get to that position where you can scale that vertical climb. And once you have that, for bhakti, once you have that foothold and you're now engage in the process of bhakti. The elevator starts to move, and you're simply engaged in devotional service to Krishna in different circumstances as Krishna sends them your way. And you're interested in pleasing Krishna, that's where your focus goes, and knowledge is needed to discriminate between what is pleasing to Krishna, what's not pleasing to Krishna. It's one of those 21 things that's in the, maybe that's the one I'll take up tonight, 21 things that's part of human life. But then human life becomes a life of devotion. And those are the 9 things. We have knowledge and detachment in the life of devotion. But it's not just become a human being. Bhakti guides our life.
Qualities of the human being as they're listed.
Yeah.
And then we hear the verse Atata Brahma Jigyasa, that human life begins when there's inquiry into the absolute truth.
Yeah.
Could you please link those two? Or is there a link?
Well, off the top, without thinking deeply about it, the Yudhisthira has asked, what's the social structure for getting to the stage of perfection that basically that Prahlad had demonstrated. So one has to become human. Now if you begin inquiry into the nature of the absolute truth, that's a human function. Say, you know, conversely, animals don't do that. They don't have even the capacity to ask the question, but to speak of, understand the answer to the question. It's a human function, asking. And from that, human life begins. So, you know, supposing I'm interested to know, what's a human being supposed to do? Yudhisthira is receiving that understanding of this is what a human being is supposed to do. And then ultimately the human being is to come to the position of taking full shelter of the personality of Godhead. But here's, you know, the initial message of what a human being is supposed to do. That to apply those 21 things in such a way, just like the discussion last night, in such a way that they're sustainable. They're not, now you see it, now you don't kind of thing. But human existence that's sustainable, it's resting upon a spiritual core that starts with inquiry. Like, you know, several of the questions last night were about that. Particularly that fellow that's with the little beard and all the discussion that came after that when he came up to speak. I don't know if he's going to surrender to Krishna, but he was asking good questions. Kind of like, you know, if I put my foot over there, am I going to lose out over here? Kind of questions. Yeah.
Thank you. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 31, it was talking about the purport, it was talking about Swadharma. Swadharma. So it says like there are two kinds of Swadharma. One is material and one is spiritual. And further also it says, talks about, which you were talking today about, for first being a human being, like Varnashram Dharma, we should follow that to become a human being. And so my question is, it says two kinds of Swadharma, one is material, one is in the other one is the spiritual, which is in the liberated state. So, does it like refer to the, it doesn't mention here like Devi Varnashram, but I guess it takes
us to... That's what the second one is.
The spiritual.
The second one is the spiritual. So, let's put the microphone down. I mentioned yesterday, Brahma karma swabhava jam. Kshatriya karma swabhava jam. So that's the material. Material is determined, we can say, by guna and karma, or the qualities, the nature of one's swabhava jam. Ja syllable means birth. So these, sama tamak tapat shau cham shau, Brahma, Tamak, Sapak, Tapak, Shocham, Shantir, Arjavam, Evacha. jnanam, vijnanam, this inquiry, astikyam. So those nine things, they're ja, they arise from swabhava. That's material. The Brahmana has such and such swabhava. It's material. It's not who he is. It's his material affinity due to contact with the modes. And thus arises those nine. And then there's others. 21. The 21 are at least directionally brahminical. Not everyone's brahminical, obviously. But there are certain elements of, for even for a king, truthfulness and control of the senses of mind and austerity. And they're items of virtue that make a human being. So there's the material swabhava. Now, is there a spiritual swabhava? Well, yes. What you're referencing is, yes, with that. It's of the soul. So it starts with, I'm Krishna's servant. And then it gets further definition having to do with, in Krishna's service, what's my nature? Let's take a real simple one. There's Chandravali and there's Radharani. And they have their spiritual swabhava, which is very different. But it's not material. It's for the pleasure of Krishna's swabhava. We have to pass through the material swabhava to get to the spiritual swabhava. We want to get to the spiritual one. We can't, like, put it on like a garment. That's not what spiritual swabhava is. It's something inside that awakens through acting in a proper manner as a human being and in devotional service to the stage where Krishna reveals these things. Something else? Yes.
Thank you, Hare Krishna Prabhupada. Just following with that, I think I understood you said the latter part, the spiritual Varnashrama, is that Devi Varnashrama?
Of course. Nanda Maharaj is a cowherd. King. And his wife. And he lives according to spiritual Varnashram. That's where it comes from. That's why it's here. It's a natural order.
So in our Krishna consciousness movement, when someone accepts bhakti as one's life,
yes.
Are we following Devi Varnashrama or we are not?
We're not at all clear about what it is, so we're not following it. That's the reality. To some degree we are. Now listen, Yasi and your householder. To some degree we are. And not with a whole lot of clarity. What is it and how to do it? So 50% of Prabhupada's work was unfinished and deeply thoughtful persons need to carefully and transcendentally go through Prabhupada's books and in a very balanced way understand what Prabhupada meant. And you know, it's the verses and purports, this whole section, the seventh canto section is on that, the things that we can't do and things that we can't do and what, how to do it and all of that. It's not clear. They're not consensus at all. So your question is, are we following? To some degree. Not even fair to partly cloudy. It's pretty cloudy. To some degree. And Prabhupada wanted, at least there are many who are convinced that Prabhupada wanted greater clarity. So that's an acharya function. Not a vox populi function. And some very thoughtful transparent, deliberative individuals need to carefully consider and discuss and kind of tinker a little bit. So anyway, and as best as our purity permits, what did Prabhupada want? And what did the predecessor Acharyas want? And what does Shukadeva Goswami want? And Vyasadeva? That's a high service. But Prabhupada wanted it. So, political work lies ahead of us. Something else? Yes?
Quick question and comment. Comment first. The word vilahara, vilaharata, actually the root vilahara is much more common in the Bhagavatam. And it has a similar meaning as in this verse. It's also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
It says sort of vyavaharata.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The question I want to ask, so the example of Jarabharata is really fascinating for me, of how he was able to very
seamlessly move
with whatever the
circumstance.
In your class, you expressed it very beautifully. Where you said, "Where we are," I don't know how you said it, but just the position, one's position is not compromised, and one's means of gaining that position is not compromised. Something like that.
Yeah.
So,
it takes a lot of clarity. It takes a lot of inner strength to be able to function like that, because we're moved by so many other things, our own stuff and other people's projection of stuff on us, instead of clarity and conviction and strength. It's tough.
And being in a social setting of an ISKCON, international society, and that just gets aggravated even more, that sense of working with expectations and things like that.
It's purifying. It gets aggravated, but it's purifying. So the strength comes from recognizing the interest of Krishna is to be served. And, you know, be flexible and not insistent on my way. Just, you know, see, like he's doing. But we have to be a little flexible in the complexity and of circumstances, while maintaining clarity. What's my purpose? What's the real mission of life? And then how to achieve it? And you know, some flexibility and this. You know, I sent out this little video. It's this same Simon Sinek fellow, the Golden Circle. I found it very meaningful. If we're clear about why, like, you know, the mission of our life, why we want to be a devotee, then the how and what follow. And it's not all about what or even how, it's about why. What's my mission in life? Who am I? Krishna gave you this human form of life. What does he want me to do with it? I remember asking that question as a college student. I didn't have an answer, and it frustrated me that I didn't have an answer, and it frustrated me that nobody had even thought about giving me the wrong answers, but to speak of the right answers. But it's an imperative question. We have to recalibrate again and again and refine again and again what that is. It's a good question. Keep asking it. Why am I devoting? What's me? And why? And so, that's clear, then, as I'm making choices, because I'm making choices all the time, free will is of the living entity, as I'm making my choices, what's the why behind the choices I'm making? And there's all kinds of other stuff beside the real why. And the complexity of life. You know, little ones and medium ones and big ones. Yes.
Even within spiritual practice, and you responded.
Even the which?
Even within a spiritual tradition.
Even within a spiritual tradition, that one that the fellow asked?
Yes, yeah. And you responded saying, you know, not only now I have a religion, but I have the religion, you know, that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
So thinking from a parent's perspective, you know, trying to bring up children that are being raised with this tradition, is it just, you know, a process of osmosis and, you know, as they see us seamlessly moving between, yes, we have firm faith, but we respect.
Yes.
They will learn this rather than become
well, at least the opportunity to learn this depends on their samskaras, whether they're going to learn it or not, whether it's blocked or not. But, you know, as a parent, that's all you can do. You can't get in there and tinker with their samskaras. You can give good ones. That's exactly the language that Jiva Goswami uses. Sadhana means you develop good samskaras. And that as the light goes on, then the darker ones can be dispelled. They change to good ones. Another term is vasana. Vasana literally means dress. So there's the material dress, and then there's the spiritual ones. It's like, you know, swabhava, the spiritual swabhava. So that's the parenting objective, is awaken that spiritual swabhava and at the same time respect for all living entities, what to speak of others that have a different tradition that they adhere to. That we may, at like our acharyas, may at times speak pretty strongly, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Chankazi, about what kind of religion is this? Do you kill your mother? What? And then, you know, so we may point out, but it wasn't for the purpose of bashing, it was the point of helping him. So we may at times, or these great personalities, may at times speak strongly. We shouldn't imitate and, you know, get out a stick and start whacking people, because you don't do the higher one. You do the lower one. So, with respect, to say what needs to be said is an art. And it takes to be a good parent, you really have to be Krishna conscious. And otherwise, you're going to down dump stuff as a parent. Part of the territory. So yeah, the easy solution is don't become a parent.
Too late.
Well, yeah, in your case it's too late. But for other persons, they could say, gee, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to down dump, so I'm not going to become a parent. Anyway, that's the responsibility. Deliver dependence from the cycle of birth and death. It's not going to come by disrespect and I'm better than you. So there. Not going to come that way. Deliver from birth and death. It's just the flip side of aversion is the flip side of attachment to something temporary. So we want the eternal. We'll respect. I'll send you, just on this note, I'll send you two little quotes that came from somebody where St. Francis, I guess it's St. Francis of Assisi because it's in Italy, and his assistant Leo and some exchanges between the two that are basically Shikshastakam 3 and 8, you know, in different language. One can be at a very elevated position from a different tradition. So the essence is the essence, the form isn't the essence. But where we have fidelity to our tradition while being respectful of others that have another tradition, we remain completely faithful and transparently loyal to our tradition while being respectful. We don't have to let go of that faithfulness to our tradition, that we'll get lost to start swimming around in the ocean again of confusion. It's descending mercy that brings us to freedom. So we're faithful to our tradition while being respectful. Send me a little note to remind you, I'll send you those too. Because the circle that you move in, you know, the parenting, collective parenting thing, people may appreciate, oh, you can see other traditions in a nice way. But it doesn't compromise the principle. Just the way to access the principle is a different approach, different modality, a different tradition. Descending mercy. Okay, I'm looking at the clock and it's almost 9 o'clock. And thank you very much. Shiva Prabhupada.